This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening, I'm Ben Grubb. On today's edition of The Informer, Victorian Minister for Equality Martin Foley and Victoria's Gender and Sexuality Commissioner Rowena Allen join us to discuss the state government's $15 million investment in a Pride Centre. If you have a view on the Pride Centre and what it should house, let us know. Email onair at joy.org.au or text the studio on 0427 joy949. Overnight, the Victorian government announced it would be allocating $15 million in new funding for what it's calling a Pride Centre. Joining me now to discuss what exactly a Pride Centre is and why the government is funding one is Victorian Minister for Equality Martin Foley. Martin, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, can you tell us what exactly is a Pride Centre and what you envisage it will be used for?
Well, I'm confident that a Pride Centre will be a physical place, but it'll also be much more than that. It will be a place for us to celebrate, to recognise and to grow our LGBTI community here in Melbourne, but to make it a place where people will want to come, where people will see support and where people will see ideas generating for the future. I also think that this foundation investment will be a $15 million investment that will see supported by LGBTI organisations. And from the work that we've had done by PwC, I'm confident that it will lever off even more investment. As the Premier has said, there's international models of what Pride Centres might be, but we want to create something particularly Victorian that reflects our progressive and our diverse and our inclusive community.
Yeah, you mentioned progressive. Your government seems to be leading the way in Australia as probably one of the most progressive state governments. Do you believe this to be true, and what has prompted this? I mean, you've got domestic violence support, medical cannabis legislation just passed, you're keeping safe schools, late night trade, the arts. Now, this has someone spiked the Spring Street spring water?
Not that I've noticed, but perhaps I've missed something. No, I think this just reflects the kind of place that Victorians see themselves as a part of. For a long time, Victoria has proudly held the mantle of being a progressive place. The ideas centre of Australia is not the wider region. I think perhaps the mantle has slipped in more recent years, and the Andrews Labor government is committed to making sure that we are a progressive centre of Australia, not just for the sake of being progressive, but because it's actually a better place to be for our community, and increasingly in a competitive world, it's the kind of place that makes cities interesting, that makes people want to move there, invest there and be a part. So whilst it's the right thing to do from a community point of view, it's also a very smart thing to do economically.
As you mentioned earlier, you've already undertaken a feasibility study for this Pride Centre, the results of which are slated to be announced next week. What kind of things were you looking at in the study?
So PwC were commissioned to look at the whole raft of issues as to what it takes to make a centre for LGBTI culture, community, future prospects. Obviously location, investment, foundation capital, but also issues like governance. What's the best way to make an inclusive model so all parts of the LGBTI rainbow have ownership and support for a place? And how can we also make sure that the foundation investment that government brings levers other investment? Because whilst $15 million is a lot of money, in and of itself, it probably won't do the trick. So how do we create a venue that allows more investment to partner with us and to create a place that can continue to pay for itself into the future? That's the kind of work that PwC did. And interestingly enough, it came down absolutely behind the need for this centre. that it will be more than repaying the $15 million investment in benefit that it will return not just to LGBTI Victorians, but to the wider Victorian community. So it should be. Just like we've been investing in mainstream culture for 160 years in this state, just like the 30 and 40 years we've been investing in multicultural facilities and women's cultural facilities and regional cultural facilities, our LGBTI, our same-sex and gender-questioning communities have been excluded from that project. This is an opportunity to make good that imbalance.
Many of today's reports have touted this as Australia's first Pride Centre, but Sydney used to have a community-funded centre. I'm just wondering whether this will be modelled on a similar concept, or is there anything particular that will set Melbourne's Pride Centre apart?
I think it might not necessarily be a direct imitation of anywhere. It will be a particularly Victorian and a particularly Melbourne community centre. Once the PwC report is released and we start consulting with organisations in the community about location, governance, funding and support, I'm very confident that we will have something particularly unique to Melbourne that reflects our particular values of inclusiveness, of diversity, and of making sure that there's a place for everyone in our community that they can feel safe and a part of.
Now, something, of course, this big will require ongoing investment if it's to stay around. I'm wondering, is the government committed to ongoing funding once the centre is established, or do you envisage that it'll require community funds from groups and organisations that might need to back it?
Look, at the moment, let's not get our carts before our horses. Let's make sure that the $15 million foundation investment starts that conversation. We've got our views, but we don't want to enforce those on the community. Once people see the PwC report and they see the multiple layers of value, the shared opportunities it will create right across the community, but with a particular focus on the LGBTI community, I'm sure that it's going to see all sorts of opportunities blossom into the future. We want to build the place. We want to partner with the community as to the best place, the best opportunities. And then, as part of the governance arrangements, we want to look to how do we sustain it well and truly into the future.
Now, the centre will be, as I understand it, centrally located somewhere in the heart of Melbourne's CBD. Correct me if I'm wrong there. And it will house a number of community groups and organisations, along with LGBTI health and support services. How will the centre cater to sex and gender diverse people living in regional and rural Victoria? I know we had Rowena Allen on the show last night, and she was suggesting that there would be an online element to this so that people might, say, Skype in or, you know, watch digitally.
Of course. Whilst it will be a physical place, we also want to make sure that it's an accessible place. In the 21st century, that means a strong digital presence. But digital presence is but a tool. I'm confident that in next week's budgets, we'll have more to say about how particularly Victorians, same-sex, attractive and gender-diverse Victorians in our regions can also have opportunities to participate where they are, but linked into the, if you like, the central coordinating hub of that diverse cultural community. So I think there's more work to be done, and let's just see what else we can roll out in next week's budget in that regional and rural community space. There's already work there. The Hay grants, for instance, have a strong focus on the regions. Increasingly, the Safe Schools work is being increasingly popular in our regions. How we bring these different programs into a coordinated approach that makes sure that Victoria has a place for all of its LGBTI people, whether they're in the centre of Melbourne whether in our regional and rural centres.
You're listening to The Informer on Joy. We're speaking to Martin Foley, the Minister for Equality in Victoria. Martin, just a few more questions. The government has also committed to providing $6.4 million in funding towards Monash Health's Gender Dysphoria Clinic. They currently struggle to treat the number of patients they have coming through the door each year, I think upwards of 100. How far will this money go, this $6.4 million?
It will go a long way towards not just dealing with Victoria's backlog, but increasingly the Gender Dysphoria Clinic for Young People at the Royal Children's Hospital, the Monash Clinic act as national centres. In a way, it's a pity that the Victorian government has to fill the gaps created by the Commonwealth in funding here, but we think it's important enough, given the huge increase in demand from trans people, to seek the support and services of gender dysphoria clinics, that the demand well and truly calls for this investment. We've been working with Monash Health and the new leadership out there at Monash at the clinic as to the best way to have this investment break down that waiting list. And we'll have more to say on that after we land just exactly how this money will be best utilised out there at Monash Health.
And last question. What prompted you to actually get behind a Pride Centre in the first place?
Well, you travel the world, you see other cultural expressions, whether they're Pride Centres, whether they're health centres, whatever it might be. Then you come back and you look across the cultural landscape of our home and you identify what's missing in that landscape. And what is missing is what is a place that is welcoming, inclusive and culturally relevant to 10%, if not more, of Victorians who are same-sex attracted and gender questioning. We invest and have done so for 160 years in mainstream culture. We invest in our multicultural organisations, in women's organisations, in regional organisations. LGBTI cultural expressions and places are a missing link, and we want to make sure that that link is closed and that there's a place for everyone. And I think this makes sure that Victoria will be just that better, equal, fairer place on the back of this investment.
Victorian Minister for Equality, Martin Foley, thank you very much for joining us.
No worries at all. Thank you for your time.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9. The Informer's Dean Beck and Matthew Wade also spoke to Rowena Allen, Victoria's Gender and Sexuality Commissioner, about the Pride Centre last night on Dean's other show, Hide and Seek.
Victoria's Gender and Sexuality Commissioner, Rowena Allen. You're very, very happy today, aren't you?
I call this a good day at the office, Dean.
Yeah, it is a good day at the office. Tell us why.
Well, today, Daniel Andrews has announced $15 million towards a Melbourne-based Pride Centre for our community. And this is an enormous amount of money, and good on him. It's fantastic. And $6.4 million for adult transgender and gender-diverse people for a gender centre. So this is an expansion of the gender centre at Monash.
Right. So that's not connected to the Pride Centre?
Well, there'll be hopes down the track that potentially gender services will be operating out of the Pride Centre.
Right.
But
yep,
nothing's ruled in and nothing's ruled out of the Pride Centre at the moment. The Andrews government is very committed to co-design, which is basically code for consultation and working together on everything. But, you know, obviously we want to see how many services we can offer from the Pride Centre, and services to trans and gender-diverse communities is really important at the centre of it all.
And you just mentioned, you know, there'll be a lot of consultation involved with, I imagine, LGBTI community groups, organisations, I guess. But in the long run, how do you envisage the centre? Like, as a pipeline, you know, what do you kind of see being in the centre?
I would hope it's a great place of celebration, as well as service delivery, you know. So I'm you know, imagining in my vision, and people will have different visions, so this is not gospel, but in my vision, and I imagine coming into a cafe and being able to sit down in a really friendly and opening space, and potentially having a Studio of Joy right there, maybe, and you know, Hares and Hainer's bookshop or something like that. You know, a place where you can just come in and go out and feel connected to community, or you can come in and speak to a very groovy concierge who can show you to a service upstairs around the place, you know, and that people are feeling really welcome, where we all get along together and you know, have a great time. So, you know, I think there's lots of things that we need to celebrate, and I think we need to celebrate our archives and having a place where we can have more displays and things on show. I think those things are really important, to get the AIDS quilts out more often. And
this particular premises at 225 Bourke Street has got a limited life. We know that the City Council want to do things with it, and we're going to have to be kicked out. And there are multiple people or organisations from our community connected to this building, all of which will at some stage in the not too distant future have to move. Will the Pride Centre be up and running, functional, fitted out in time to accommodate Joy and to be our new home? I know that's putting a lot of words in your mouth.
This announcement tonight has all of those factors in play. You know, we know we've been working with the City of Melbourne on your behalf about the building. I should say PricewaterhouseCoopers have been doing that piece of feasibility studies. This hasn't got to come out of nowhere, Dean. And, you know, we've very much got that. I certainly have, and I know Minister Martin Foley has. This is very front and centre that, you know, there's no way we're going to let Joy go off air. We need to make sure there's continuity and balance that with, you know, the right building, the right place, and all those. Well, you imagine how many organisations with different needs and timelines and things we... Now the work begins, I think.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed. Now, $15 million isn't going to go that far, quite frankly. This, I envisage, would be a great sort of starting point for philanthropics to commit to this project. I know that there are wealthy individuals in our community who were very upset by some of the things that have gone by in the past and have held on to their funds for a more secure purpose for the community when it appeared. And this sounds like it could be that.
I think it is. And I think this is the Andrews government saying, you know, we're showing leadership in this space. We're putting our dollars on the table. And, of course, it's my job now to go and find matching dollars and grow it as big as we can to make it, you know, as we envisage, bigger than anything we've had before. And I think we need to keep our community focused on trying to make it the best we can. And I think people are quite interested. But when I have spoken to people in the past, they've said, well, what commitment has government got? Well, I think it's important that someone's got to go first and put their money on the table. Today we've done that. And now it's about, you know, finding philanthropy and finding community orgs and different people that are interested and corporate groups. You know, we need to be open to all the possibilities in that as well and make it something that's really sustainable, bulletproof to say, you know, whatever governments come and go in the future, whatever crises rise, you know. And there are groups that, I should say, there are groups that will come in and the groups that we don't even know will exist in 20 years. Mm. You know, groups that, you know, interest groups that need to pop up. We need to have a facility that allows those groups. Some of our community groups won't be here. Some we don't even know yet.
There's a school of thought that would suggest that we wouldn't need a Pride Centre in 20 years. It'll be so irrelevant.
Well, that would be fabulous. That would be fabulous. But what a great building and what a great investment in the next 20 years.
I still think we have a culture that is worth preserving.
I do. And I think we'll have history that we'll want to preserve, you know. And certainly speaking to the really committed folks in archives, they're just busting out of the spaces they have. And, you know, if nothing else. I mean, yes, I would love to have the day we don't need a Pride Centre, but... You know, always going to need a good place for coffee.
But even if we get to that point, I guess, do you see, I mean, I personally feel like a centre like that would always be invaluable because having a space that obviously recognises our history but also has a place for all the different organisations to kind of be in the one place, I think, is incredible. I mean, I guess, how do you see the collaboration happening in that space between different groups?
Well, I think this building is a classic example. You've already got Queer Film, Midsummer, Joy. There's already collaboration, but I think you've got to meet in the elevator or go into each other's floors. Hopefully, we've got something that we can build that has a lot more spaces to do that collaboration. You know what I call the photocopy collaboration when you know things happen around a photocopy or around coffee, and you know we can share volunteers and we can share resources and ideas because there's a lot of drain, as you know, on the volunteers that we've got.
The Victorian AIDS Council have tonight put out a media release. We all know that they sold their building in South Yarra for near $15 million not so long ago. They need a new home as well. My understanding of what I've read from their media release is basically they congratulated the Andrews government on their commitment to the Pride Centre and will look forward to reading the feasibility study as PricewaterhouseCoopers has produced, and they will... in due time, make the right decision for them.
Yep, and I think that's a great response. And I just checked with the minister just before coming in the studio to say that he is going to release the report at the budget time, same time as budget. So that's...
The PricewaterhouseCoopers report.
Yes, it'll be released at the same time as the budget. So that's about... Is it about a week?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's about a week. So then that's really important because I think it's really important that if you take time to come to the consultations, and we had three consultations, we had a survey that went out to 120 different organisations. If you take the time to be, you know, consulted, you should see the results of that. So I'm really committed to that. I'm so glad the minister's committed to that, and people can then, as I said, there's no one's being pressured into the building. Nobody's not welcome either.
Can you give us an overview of what is in that document? What they were doing? What is the feasibility study?
Well, the feasibility study is saying, you know, do we need a Pride Centre? Mm. You know, is there, you know, would you, what's your space capacity now? What do you see it in 5 years? So there's, you know, some details there, but it's an early stage. What needs to happen now is a full business plan.
Right.
So that you can say no decisions have been in concrete, yeah. Literally, about where it's going to be or, you know, anything like that, or the design, or whether it's going to be a greenfields brand new site, or we're going to try and buy something and retrofit it or whatever. So, and people basically said yes, overwhelmingly yes. And I thought my rural mates would have a problem with it, but absolutely not. They said, we love the place to connect and get Wi-Fi in Melbourne, and when we come to town, it's really important. So, you know, and I think the other part of the Pride Centre is, you know, having a virtual centre, having the ability to connect. Coming from the country, I'm really passionate about that. We need to make sure that we have a virtual Pride Centre in this Pride Centre as well, and we connect to regional centres as well. Really, really important.
How do you get 120 community groups to agree to anything?
Well,
they can't agree within themselves, let alone externally.
Well, I think that's the bit where, you know, there are enough people that are saying this is something we want to explore seriously. And, of course, you know, pending rents and, you know, people are meeting in kitchens, you know. People have got boxes in carports, you know, in garages. They're pretty clear to clean it out. I think people see the benefits in coming together and doing that collaboration. Some organisations, as you know, need a small amount of space for most of the year, and then for 1 month of the year they need to expand, you know, having all that flexibility. Well, you wouldn't want to, you know, you wouldn't want to get commercial rent for a large facility for that sort of, you know, for a whole year.
We're speaking with Rowena Allen, Victoria's Gender and Sexuality Commissioner. We're talking about the announcement of the Victorian Government's pledge to pitch in $15 million to build Australia's first Pride Centre. Now, there is some debate as to whether this is Australia's first Pride Centre. There's something in Sydney that was a shoebox that was registered as the Pride Centre.
Well, first successful ongoing Pride Centre. How's that?
Glamorous Pride Centre?
Glamorous
I'll
Pride
go with
Centre.
That.
Well, you know, Melbourne likes to always do one better than Sydney, so on.
It's not hard.
Well, there are already a number of Pride Centres even outside, offshore, you know. In San Francisco, they've already got a Pride Centre, and I heard that Melbourne's one is supposed to be, intended to be, bigger than the San Francisco
Pride
Centre.
Well, we'll learn from their mistakes, I think.
Well, that's also what the feasibility study shows.
Rowan is going on an international tour of every Pride Centre just to get it right.
One thing I was curious about that you touched on earlier was, I know that you're very passionate about Victoria's rural and regional LGBTI community. You know, having, I guess, a lot of these important groups and organisations centralised in the city. I mean, you mentioned having that kind of virtual centre as well. What did you mean by that? Like, just kind of having that internet correspondence, or could you elaborate a bit on that?
I think being able to, you know, Skype into sessions, functions, workshops, that's really important. I think this is probably for my benefit, but a community calendar of events would be incredibly, incredibly fabulous to have online, so we don't clash with
it's crazy.
Bendigo Film,
you know,
Festival
last
and
weekend,
out in the open in Shepparton. And
so many things that clashed last weekend, and none of them were fully patronised because they were all clashing.
Yeah.
I don't know why last weekend was so special.
I'm not sure either, but, you know, clearly for my diary, it would be really, really helpful. And I'm sure for Joy's and everybody else's, it would be great.
So as in, like, from the Pride Centre, a calendar of events that wouldn't only just be in the city, but also
absolutely
be around.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And then hopefully
global calendar of events.
I don't know how many more events I could get to, but I'll try.
What do we know about this gender centre and the money for that?
Well, this is incredibly exciting. So under the task force, we have a Health and Human Services Working Party, and I chair a trans and gender diverse reference group for that group. So we've been working on a model that will best suit going forward in the future. And as you know, the Children's Hospital received money last year, and they've been able to halve their waiting lists. But that
fantastic.
Closes at, you know, that closes at 17. They try to refer after that to adult services, and there really wasn't a lot at Monash to refer to. So this has been a train crash coming. And
now, Monash has been under a bit of a cloud in the last 6 months. They've had some major staff changes at that clinic, and there's been some concern from some of the frequent users of it.
Yeah, and I spoke to Brenda Appleton just again before I came on air, and Monash has given some real commitments about how they're going to work with the community in the future. And we're working really closely with the Trans and Gender Diverse Reference Committee to make sure that that model is statewide, you know, and we make sure that we, as I said to Matt before, we make sure we pick up people that are in, you know, in Wodonga, mm-hmm. in Warrnambool. It's really important because there aren't the services that we need for trans and gender diverse people in those places.
Which feeds in nicely to a little thing that you tabled not so long ago. It's called a roadshow. Any word on its development and what that might look like?
I'm certainly going on a roadshow, I can tell you that much.
Rowena on a pushbike.
Whether it's Rowena or a pushbike. But I need to come back on your show probably in a week.
You have an open invitation anytime.
And give you more details about that. But, you know, I was really clear with the minister when I took on the role that I didn't want it to be Melbourne-based, you know, centric and focused, and that's really important to get out in the rural areas.
After the budget, you're actually going to have a portfolio funded with money.
I know.
What's that going to look like?
It's going to look like a lot of work and a lot of fun. But you know, my secret weapon is I just gather other people around me to do the work for me, Dean. That's what I do.
Rowena Allen, congratulations on getting Big Dan to open his wallet and pitch in $15 million for our Pride Centre. It's a great start, and we look forward to the developments as they progress.
Thanks for having me on.
This is the Informer, Joy's brand new current affairs program. A full rundown on today's show will be on the Joy website shortly. Thank you to my guests today, Martin Foley and Rowena Allen, who spoke to Hide and Seek last night. Today's head producer was myself and Matthew Wade, with additional producing from Clayton Wimshurst. For a podcast of today's program and other stories, visit joy.org.au/The Informer. The Informer will be back Monday at 6:30. Coming up next, though, the latest news from Alex Darling, followed by Stand Up Straight. I'm Ben Grubb. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.